gathered around the campfire by the lake, welcome to another episode of the official, unofficial news from Lost Island Lake. This is episode 2008.2, about the residents of Electric Park on the south shore of beautiful Lost Island Lake. I'm your reporter of questionable repute, Bob Tiger Fulmuth, bringing you the absolutely true news that may or may not be so true. Weather is always a concern in Iowa, no matter where you are, but especially at Lost Island. During this second week of June, we were blessed with especially nice days. There were two peculiarities these past few days at the lake. A strange but wonderfully bright and warm light appeared in the sky. Local scientists and meteorologists studied this unfamiliar thing and finally determined that it was the return of an object known to previous generations as the sun. The residents at Lost Island beheld this wondrous appearance with awe and confusion. Many basked in its glorious warmth until it fried their skin, causing redness and painful blistering. Now they just wish the damn thing would go away again. Which brings us to today's main topic for the week following Father's Day, how to put men to shame with one project. It's amazing how one woman can single-handedly put all men in their place. The only tool needed was a can of stain and a paintbrush. As you already know, or soon will know, Steve and Tina's home and entire deck sport a new coat of stain. It was a grueling ordeal for Chuck and especially for Bob. Those poor guys had to endure countless hours of watching, but trying and pretending not to notice that Tina was staining everything. You can't imagine the effort it took to avoid seeing Tina applying that stain hour after hour after hour, all by herself, in the blazing heat. It was torture for the men, I tell ya. Torture! It was a horrible plot by Tina to do this when Bob and Kathy were at the lake. There's no reason Tina couldn't have planned this little staining party for days when Bob would be tied up back in Mason City, but oh no. I mean, it was all the poor guy could do to avoid seeing her working hour after hour, stroke by stroke all day long, for two solid days. Consider what Bob had to go through just to avoid this display of persistence. He had to go to the golf course for several hours each day and pretend to enjoy it. He was forced to take naps during the day, mind you. He was forced to try to blot out the image of Tina meticulously applying the stain as the blazing sun beat down on her. When it was unavoidably obvious that Tina was becoming almost unbearably hot, Bob had no choice, no choice at all, but to painfully trudge all the way down to the dock and dutifully fire up the wave runner and cruise the lake. Cool and refreshing. Wow. He didn't want to, but he had to. After all, a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Yes, it's true. One woman put all men in their place. Well, it's already been a pretty long report, so let's close the episode with a couple of mysteries. It'll be up to you listeners to see if you can unravel them. The first mystery is that of the missing golf score card. It was reported that both Bob and Donnie shot 48 out on the course, but there were no witnesses, and somehow the scorecard has disappeared. Could it actually be true that these two yahoos really broke 50? Could they really have shot only a few strokes worse than that esteemed Chuck Fingleson? Here's a challenge for all you listeners. Will any of you be able to find the missing scorecard to either verify or disprove this fantastic claim of twin 48s? The card is posted in plain sight at Electric Park. If you can find it, you might win a fabulous prize. or probably nothing. Here is mystery number two. Does a concrete alligator really scare away geese? If so, why do geese sit on it? Does it matter how much the alligator costs? The auction at the golf course took place a few days ago, which leads to our third mystery in this episode. Part of the auction included the sale of the huge concrete markers that marked every hole on the course, and when Larry said he wanted 8, did he really want Chuck to bid on 8 of those markers? Finally, we have some other mysterious things to consider in this episode as we close. Here's the mysterious question. To what activity do these phrases relate? Number 1, Chuck's stream is weak. Number 2, it used to spray a nice strong stream in the past. Maybe it's getting old. Number 3, maybe the opening is clogged again. Can it be cleaned out with a safety pin? Number 4, you could write your name in the snow with that thing. And number 5, oh, now look, you tinkled all over your shoes. And finally, number 6, maybe it just needs a good blow. Well, that's about all for this episode, thank God. Remember that news items and comments are welcomed, as well as any ideas for upcoming episodes. Just let me know. Until next time, remember that even if the fish don't bite, the mosquitoes will.